When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yes, yes. Welcome in to QFTA from the Longo Big Studios, online at longobigs.com. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan, and that's the birthday boy, bitches.
What's up, yo?
Jackson Burkett, 26 years old. Unbelievable what's going on here today. Fun.
I can't believe it. 26 years, man. I got to say something at the beginning of this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Jackson is going to issue a birthday address, ladies and gentlemen.
Less so that. I just want to pay you a compliment. I really love that shirt. I really like that shirt.
Wow.
It's kind of like a little bit vintage almost, like a modern vintage.
Okay. I gotta go to the YouTube and see it like a mirror here. Hold on a second. I'm really bad at this camera. I need like a little piece of tape to let me know where I need to stay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's a nice shirt.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm excited about my appearance.
Yeah, you so rarely see the four-button palette, and it just
do looks, I have four buttons?
Yeah.
One, two, three. I only feel three. One, two.
You're missing one. There's
three,
the third,
and then there's up here four.
Yeah, the Bubba Watson.
I like multiple buttons.
Yeah, as you should.
Thank you.
There was that moment in golf shirts, like when Rory would have
Roderick McRib
with the Nike shirt that was the collarless. But I hated that.
God, I did too. It was the year of the 2018 PGA Championship, actually, was going on. Koepka was wearing that shit too.
Right. You had to look like Brooks or Rory to make it look halfway decent when you're like kind of like us with.
What are you trying to say? Right there, I caught something.
Sunken boy chests and slight frames. You kind of look silly wearing a shirt like that. My dad rocks it often, so shout out to my pop, but it is not a good look in my opinion.
Well, Jackson, that's a wonderful compliment to you. I would say that, let me ask you this.
Oh, okay.
And in part, I'm sincere, and in part, I'm buying time to get into my fucking email inbox.
Hot start, baby, hot start.
But I would say you're in a happier place on your 26th birthday than you were on your 25th birthday, your 24th birthday, your 23rd birthday. Thoughts, comments, concerns?
Definitely.
And why is that?
Good question, Tim.
Man in love. That's the reason, boys.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. Very happy with my relationship status.
Have you said those three little words?
I have not.
But I'm just so you know, I call.
Okay, you're going to lose the pot, unfortunately. I'm licking the Oreos. But, I guess I'm not licking the Oreos. He also, put it up to his ear.
Nah.
I love John Malkovich. Either way. But extremely happy in my relationship. That's a huge part of it. Thinner than I was in my
20s.
More hair. Yeah. Although definitely thinner than I was on my 25th birthday. And, just generally feeling good about everything in life.
Look at you.
For the most part.
Positive. I think, what's your handicap, your golf handicap, that is?
Like a 9.7.
You are going to be at least two below that this year. Because we're going to go into the simulator. It's not like I'm Butch Harmon.
No.
But you're going to see it. You're going to be able to make a slight adjustment, and the ball striking is going to improve. And plus, you've got the clutch gene.
That's all credit to shooting free throws.
Is it?
Short putts or free throws. Like, a little different because free throw is the most controllable shot in all of basketball. It's the same from when you're in fifth grade to if you go play in the NBA. It's all 15 feet on a 10-foot rim, and everything else is outside noise. Short putts obviously change with undulation of the green.
Sure,
however,
sure, and sometimes holes get tight.
Sure, but keeping the club face square doesn't change throughout. And the short distance putt, people kind of underestimate. Oftentimes you're like, people are just giving it to you, and that's fine. And for the most part, that's fine. But, yeah, short putts, definitely. And keeping the ball in play, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, you just kind of play, you know, the situation shouldn't change your swing, you know. It shouldn't change your swing thoughts, certainly.
I'm bullish on you, and I think you're going to have a big year on the golf course. I really do. I was chastised for giving you compliments today on TMA.
Yeah, pish posh, is what I say. Pish posh.
Well, I mean, it's not something that really, it just, that reminds me, I got an emailer here. I don't know if we can do this, but I know on the day of the Cardinals signing Matt Carpenter, we patched the plow hook in.
We did. That was a magical moment.
This gentleman, I feel like, I don't know how to describe it. I just think he'd be a good guest because I think he's got a lot of the, I think he kind of represents, and I'm saying this as a compliment, even though I know it might not sound like a compliment, but I mean it.
Okay.
He's kind of the Marjorie Taylor Greene effect of the, I know
glad
it sounds
you prefaced
like.
It beforehand. That would have been tough.
Like, he represents, I think, but he's doing it sincerely. Got and it. At least he has the balls to do it of the people who don't like me.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
And so now that I feel like I've kind of, like, won his, like, I know it's there. I know the place is where it is. I just don't read it. That's why now at this point, I don't know if anybody on the show posts on the fan page. Fan page really kind of the least of the problems.
Plowhawk will if he doesn't like something in sports. Zach Eadie ruining college basketball popped up.
But he'll also post like a picture of him and like his, what is the thing? The pop tent or whatever?
Pop-up camper.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
I
never post like anything personal on that thing. Oh, fuck off. You know, there's whatever. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to leave my family. I don't even post anything with my family. But anyway.
Point post your dinner tonight.
Should I post my dinner tonight?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting Chuck's.
Oh, Chuck's Hot. They just opened one right by me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Where,
God, I like that Chuck's.
I think we're the Courtesy Diner on Kings Highway.
I like that Chuck's. I think it'd be good to have this guy on for a conversation.
Yeah.
Because then that way, because one of the things he said, and I this is going to be a short QFTA because Jackson and I are talking at 11:30 and I have a lunch at noon. So I've got to cut it off at about 11:50, but, he's asked some good questions. And I'm saying this, and I'm saying, again, this is from a place of, since none of it's mocking. I mean, if I were mocking, I would say, you know. He sent one of the questions from his own self-described burner account, but it kind of had the tells, for lack of a better term, of somebody who's not really, like, angry, I want to kill you burner account.
Right.
Because I get those.
Yep.
This was like a place of sincerity, but didn't necessarily want to use his name. And I said, well, what we're trying to do is the same thing we try to do on the TMA fan page is we try to make sure if we're going to read questions on QFTA, try that people, even if we respect their anonymity, that they use their real name.
Right.
So therefore, you don't just have burners popping up. And I realize there's not a 100% way to safeguard it, but that's what we try to do with the fan page and try to do with QFTA. And to his credit, he then said, here's my name. Here's why I used the burner. And I'm like, okay, I think this is good faith. And he said, to the question he asked, he goes, I realize you're probably going to answer it in a real rational, fact-based way. And you really come off like an asshole when you do that. Huh. And I'm like, here's the thing. As weird as that might sound, I respect that.
Sans emotion.
Because I know I do that. I personally, I do it that way because I would prefer that. I guess I just kind of recognize when somebody's jerking me off. And I would rather just have somebody go, here's the deal. Here's why. Here's how it can be different. Here's how it can get worse. Here's the numbers. That's it. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm not looking for friends. I've got a wife. I've got children. I've got friends from 63109 through the University of High School, through the University of Missouri. I'm not looking to, like, you know, whether it be on Twitter or Facebook to, like, meet some cyber buddies. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you are. Just saying that's not where I am. So when people ask questions about my business or my job or the show, it's not necessarily said with, you know, well, that's a really good question. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever asked if I've run the station before. You know, I mean, I can't do that.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
So it's like, here's the deal, here's the situation, but I want to answer it as often as I can and with the facts as often as I can, but I realize I don't watch this. I don't tickle your balls.
Mm-mm.
See that?
No.
It's just going to be...
There'll be no tickling.
Here it is. This is the deal. So the same gentleman asked this question. I can't do the one where he... Because I'm looking forward to asking that. But for time purpose, I'm going with this. This is the same guy. He's back. Tim, curious. At the beginning of February, and pay close attention to this. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say to this. Because this is, I guess this is partially faith-based.
Okay.
And I know you get activated. I feel like you're relatively passionate about your Judaism. Is that accurate? Am I getting a bad read?
Jewish culture, yes.
Jewish culture being different than Judaism.
Right, like the religion itself. I don't go to the temple all the time.
Right.
Almost never. But like the culture itself, yes.
Okay, I'm glad you distinguished that. Tim, curious, at the beginning of February, you answered a question on QFTA regarding where you would go if you could go to a specific place in time travel. Where did you say answer? Do you remember that question? It was like a month and more ago.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember.
And then when I was reading this, I'm like, I don't remember what the fuck it was. But then when he went on to say that, I'm like, oh, yeah. I would not have guessed your answer if you gave me a million guesses. You said that if you could go back in time to any time, you'd go to see the tomb of Jesus and see if he actually rose from the dead. Further, you said that if he did, it would, quote, change my whole perspective on things, end quote. So what? If he did resurrect from the dead, I honestly wouldn't believe your perspective would change a bit. Can you elaborate? Now, I have to say in fairness, it's so comma what. I don't know if it was like so what or I don't know how else to read it other than so
like,
what. I don't know.
Yeah, like
but this
so
is the this
what?
Is the guy who I think would be a good guest because he can like represent.
Yeah.
He's the Marjorie Taylor Greene. And by the way, Joe Biden's reaction is
so funny, dude.
So
funny.
He's walking into the chamber and he sees her. And like you can tell she's like, yeah, this is a little embarrassing. Even her, she is embarrassed. Yeah. And even him, he's like, what the fuck? Like, I know shit's crazy, but oh my God.
Yeah, that's been like my favorite meme since the Tiger Big Dog.
Oh, is that
meme.
Right?
Well, yeah, because like one of them was like when your 6-year-old nephew flexes his muscles in front of you, and then it's Joe Biden's face. Like, oh wow. So good. So many, so versatile in memes. Yeah, that was hilarious.
It is outstanding.
Yeah.
So I really do I'm who's the face of like wings of things right now? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why I'm doing it. I'm not like shitting on this guy by calling him. I'm just saying like, I know. And to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit, words I've never said
might
before.
Might be the title of the podcast.
I think it has to be.
To Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit.
At least she's out there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I guess they're all kind of out there. I saw Chris Christie do an interview with at some point, this is going to be over, and these people are still going to be alive, and they're going to have to answer for this stuff because they know they're lying.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, at least she's out. I mean, you know, it's full on, but at least she's out there.
Too.
So that's what I say about this.
Yeah.
I know it's out there, but at least this person comes to me with it, you know? And that's why I say I tip my cap so much, so I'm inviting him on.
Real name, too.
Real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after the follow-up. But yes, real name. So I'm not going to spoil it here by giving the name here, but this is a real name. So going back to the actual question, you said that you'd go to see the tomb of Jesus and see if he actually rose from the dead. So, I mean, I would go on what is called Easter morning. It's not necessarily a document. It wasn't like March 10th. You know,
right,
I mean, it's
right.
Whatever that is. And then, like, I'd want to be standing there to see the boulder.
I thought it was a cave.
Yeah, but, like, the boulder moved.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Talking to her.
I understand.
I'm not your huckleberry in this one.
And, like, if that happened, I mean, that would have to open up your eyes, right, as a Jewish gentleman?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So then I don't get the so what. I mean, that's – so – from my perspective, if I can fast forward to 2024 and Marjorie Taylor Greene, for that matter, one of the biggest issues right now in U.S. politics is 33%-ish of voters are going to vote for Donald Trump, even though their morals, I think, are different, but based on religion, specifically Christianity, and the abortion issue in the Supreme Court, single-issue voters.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now, Jesus wasn't really, I didn't find anything, and I know you're not a big New Testament guy yourself, but where he ever commented on abortion. but it's been something that has been attached to religion, I would say, conveniently after Watergate, when the Republican Party was going, oh my God, there's nobody with us anymore. We've got to attach ourselves to the religious right or else we are doomed to become the Whigs. And so that is how that formation came to be, with a gentleman from my standpoint who was as honorable as the day is long, the Reverend Falwell. Mm. And I know some people might say he was a fraud. You wouldn't find me saying that.
No, no.
And so that became this and here I am, the son of the person I couldn't hold in higher esteem, my mom, who was the president of Birthright Missouri. And who, when I didn't really understand things, and all I knew was through her lens and my father's lens, they voted solely based on, is the person pro-life or pro-choice? And they would vote for pro-life, and that's it. And I think that's probably still where they are. And so, why is it relevant now? Why has it been relevant? Take your pick if you want to go to the Crusades, wherever you want to go with religion, and it's certainly not been only Christianity. If, in fact, that transpired, well, then that's going to change my perspective on things. Now, I'm not going to go, oh, well, shit, I guess I'm voting for Donald Trump. That's not where I'm going. But I would go, well, holy shit. This is the greatest fucking news ever. Mm-hmm. That there is an afterlife, that this guy whose teachings really existed, said these things, and rose from the dead, because the teachings are wonderful. It's just some of the people in the United States who like to espouse the teachings live the opposite to the teachings, but yet have the get-out-of-jail-free card because they wear bracelets and sit in the front row. I never fucking understand it. All I know is that's the way that it is. Or they vote for the right party. Apparently, the Republican Party is the party of God. It's the party of God. I don't know how it happened, but alas, here we are. So then I sit there and I go, well, if that did happen, wonderful news.
Right.
Wonderful news. And I would absolutely view the world differently. I don't even know how that question surprised me. His question on, like, me running things, which is the bigger one that I want to have him on for. He's not the first one to think that or ask that one. So I get that one. But this one I was really surprised by. If he did resurrect from the dead, I honestly wouldn't believe your perspective would change a bit. I don't know what else to tell you outside of it would change 180 degrees.
Yeah, because I think I've said it before on this podcast, but I think religion in general is a way, I'm not saying like this is the sole reason or people do it because they're like scared, but like religion is a good way to answer some of life's most curious and scary questions. Where are we going after we die? Where do we come from as a humanity? I think those are very scary questions for people to try to answer. It's a very infinite question, and religion is a good way to, you know, we were created by God, and when you die, you go to heaven or hell. Like, that is answers to questions we don't have answers to. And if you found out that everything they're saying, you know, it's no longer faith, it's believing in the truth, like you're saying, if Jesus came back and resurrected, then that would be like, that's a concrete answer. Huh. That completely changes.
I mean, that's it.
Scientists work based on fact. Like, and if you have a fact that happened, that completely changes the world. I mean, that's the biggest news in human history.
Yeah. So so I felt like the answer, number one, was really good. And because it has this macro, I mean, it has a micro as far as my worldview, but then the macro would be, holy shit, this is actually, you know, at least that part, I can't speak to the rest, but that part is true. And then if that part is true, well then,
yeah, domino effect.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would absolutely, it wouldn't even just like a sliver, it would absolutely change my thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I really do subscribe to, I would imagine I would subscribe to a lot of the teachings of a variety of religions.
Yeah.
Because I think the teachings of a lot of the religions are beautiful and essentially become social mores for how people interact with each other.
Yeah, and very similar across religions,
too. That's where I was going with this.
My
personal, Jackson, I don't know if we ever talked about this.
Okay.
But I'll fire a bullet. It's a birthday bullet. Here it comes.
I love a birthday bullet.
Who, outside of myself, is my favorite person living or dead?
Oh, wow. I don't know why my first thought went to Gabe, but...
I'm a big Gabe guy.
But I think I know, based on the conversation, the context of the conversation, you're going to say Dick Wehner.
Ooh, that's That's nice. That's nice. That's a good one. Yeah. Gabe and Dick Wehner are both great guesses.
Yeah.
But this is a person, and Dick Wehner would definitely fall into this category. All due respect, I think the Colonel will be the first one to say he doesn't fall into this category along with Dick Wehner, although I don't know if the Colonel knows Dick Wehner. I bet they've caught cross paths with the U-High and recruits such. Sure. This guy, he's everything. My admiration, but also who he was, how his family fought back of what they tried to do with his legacy. I'm giving you hints. I know this kind of predates you, even though you were alive when all of this happened. Arizona Cardinals.
Pat Tillman?
Yes. That's my guy. Yeah. That is my guy. I mean, I just can't. To me, when I think of person of principle, I think of Pat Tillman. Now, and that's in part about reading his wife's, I don't know what the right word would be, memoir, I guess, because it wasn't really a biography. It was more her experience, but with everything that happened, I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. I don't know. I can't get enough. In principle, what he did, walking away from millions of dollars because he's just like, what the fuck have we done?
Practice what you preach.
Absolutely. And also, I think just to kind of like, I don't know. Just I think he was just a guy that people respected because of the way he carried himself in principle. He was very well educated on religions. He didn't shit on religion, but he was curious and read about a bunch of religions, which I respect.
Respect the hell out of
that. Exactly. And yet he was an atheist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So much so that at the funeral or memorial service, I believe it was his brother got up there, and he wasn't like motherfucking the politicians who were there, but he was saying a lot of you people who say he's in a better place now. I got to tell you, Pat didn't believe in God, so please stop saying that. You know, Pat's dead. Pat is dead. But was unapologetic about it, but yet studied it. So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like this odd paradox.
The personification of what I always say, and I'll say it again, is being curious and not judgmental.
You always go back to that.
You know, that's the key, is learning about stuff, but not, you don't have to believe in it, but learning about it gives you so many tools that can help you, and it helps you have a better understanding, so when you have conversations about it, you're coming to the table with a little bit of knowledge and more curiosity, especially if you're talking to someone of another religion and you have some base knowledge. I mean, the wisdom you can gain out of conversations like that is infinite.
Right. Yeah, like I have found, even though I am not well-traveled myself at all, that I tend to have better friendships, I guess, with people who are well-traveled. It's very odd since I'm not. I don't know what the hell the deal with it is. At the same time, as somebody who I guess is introverted, I'm married to somebody who would be more extroverted. And that's usually, like they said, two extroverts, not necessarily going to be a great marriage or relationship. In your wonderful relationship that has you so happy,
mm-hmm.
as you turn 26 today, who's the introvert? Who's the extrovert?
I would say...
I don't know what the hell you are.
So I did that personality test.
What'd you come in with?
Introvert. Yeah.
Introvert, okay.
I came in introvert. But if I had to have the two of us, I would say I'm a little bit more extroverted.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit more extroverted. But still, both of us more introverted. But I would say it's like put us in a situation we can do well being extroverted, but had our druthers introverted.
Who I think a lot is the biggest like extrovert on TMA? And I think I know who you're going to guess, and just so you know, you're wrong.
The biggest extrovert on TMA, I will go with the Plowboy.
That's the right answer, actually. I thought you were going to go Doug, and I would actually say Doug is like maybe the biggest introvert.
I was going to say Doug is like, please just leave me alone and let me do my job.
No, I'm please just leave me alone and let me do my job. Doug just doesn't, he just does his job.
Yeah, right.
It's absolutely the Plowboy, without question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he can assimilate with, like, anybody.
Absolutely. That was the thing when in Jamaica, I'm like, weird thing, I've been working with him for, like, 8 or 9 years, but I, like, got to know the Plowboy better.
Yeah, totally.
And I, like, liked him more after the Jamaica trip, even though I've been sitting with him for, like, but usually it's we're just doing the show and doing the whole thing, and then I get up and go down the hallway or whatever the case might be. Let's see. Don Peepee says, complete trust or confidence in someone or something equals faith. I would change complete trust in something you can't prove. I don't know what that's in reference to. I apologize. So I'm not looking to challenge you. I just don't, I don't know what that's in reference to. So I don't know. All right. What do we got? 11:40. I probably got to shut it down. I hate to do that. But I got a lunch. I got to go. Thank you to James Carlton of the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency. Thank you to Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, designairservice.com, carltoninsurance.net. Jamie Burkhardt, Clayton Patterson, Peter Munganast, Ryan Seiberg, Munganast, St. Louis Acura, Munganast Burkhardt, Alton Toyota, stlouisacura.com, altontoyota.com, Mark Hanna, Evergreen Wealth Strategies, evergreenstl.com, Longo Biggs, CD Longo, Doug Biggs, longobiggs.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Love to. I hate not going. I love doing the podcast. I just. Let's see. Okay, this is perfect. Quick hitter.
Perfect.
From James Carlton, big QFTA guy.
The greatest.
Random thought: which gave you more of a high? Greatest show on turf or Whitey Ball at its peak? This has got to be for me because you didn't experience the latter, and you really couldn't remember a greatest show on turf either. It's so tough because I view the Whitey Ball thing as a decade, and I didn't know the 70s to know.
That was like your frame of reference is so different.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was born into the Cardinals being exciting, and it lasted really throughout the 80s. I mean, there were down years, 84, 86, 88, 89. They were competitive. And I think they were a half game out of first place in September, but then the Cubs wound up pulling away. Point being, 82, 85, 87, and it's not like now where you just get in and, you know, whatever. You're one of the final four, and you're playing a best-of-seven NLCS, and here we go with the Dodgers, as the case was, and with the Giants, as the case was, best-of-five with the Braves in 82, but they changed that for, I think, the 85 NLCS and ALCS, NLCS and ALCS. So, with that said, the Rams thing came out of absolutely fucking nowhere. And not only, we would have been happy here if they were just like around 500 and could have gotten to a playoff spot, especially for as bad as they were in particular in 96, 97, 98. I went to their final game in 1995 at the Dome. Would you like to fire a bullet? And this will, you'll go, oh my God, these two guys were there on who the head coach was and who the quarterback was at this game.
St. Louis Rams?
No, for their opponent. When I realize you're going to have to, like, then fire up. I mean, it's super 1 in 100 play, but...
Jimmy Johnson.
It's not a bad play. It's not a bad Aikman. Play, although I think Switzer was in there in 95. But either way, it's not a bad play. Don Shula was the coach of the Dolphins.
Okay, holy shit.
I think it was his last ever win, and Dan Marino was their quarterback.
Wow.
The fact that I even saw them in my hometown was fucking crazy to me. Even though they played, I'm sure they probably played against and coached against the football Cardinals. You know, because that span of years isn't that different.
Yeah.
I mean, they left after 87, and this is 95. But 96, 97, 98, they were so bad. And so to not only have a team that was good, but as pure cocaine as the 99 and 2000 offenses were, and then again 2001... and even 2003, not as good as those first three offenses, but 2003 was a very good team. You go, I mean, it was just unreal. And I'm telling you, and I know nobody's going to really litigate this because they're not here anymore and they wound up losing three games. That team was for real two plays away from being undefeated. Now, they lost three games. You're going, well, how can they? When they were 13-2, they played Andy Reid in his rookie year of the Eagles.
Yeah.
And Dick Vermeil just sat everybody. They would have beaten the Eagles were terrible. They would have beaten the shit out of the Eagles. They lost on a 4th and 25 at the Pontiac Silverdome to Jermaine Crowell was the name of the receiver of the 99 Lions. Yeah. Otherwise, they win that game, 4th and 25. They're up. Jeez. And then the Titans had a last-second field goal to win in Nashville, their eventual Super Bowl opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the team that gets more credit is the 2001 team, and for the life of me, I just don't get it. I'm not saying, and I think a lot of guys on the two teams would say the 2001 team was better. Ozzie Smith always tells me the 85 Cardinals were the best team, even though they didn't win the World Series. And I agree with him on that, but I don't really remember the 82 team as well. Point being, the answer to James Carlton's question is the greatest show on turf. And I love Whitey Ball. I long for Victor Scott patrolling the outfield so I can have a revisiting of Whitey Ball. But I that because it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and
it
I would,
came out of nowhere.
I would also say, like, football at its best, just in general, is more exciting than baseball at its best. Not saying that baseball isn't exciting at its best, but like when a football team is really good, they are like really fun to watch.
And but we've seen really good teams. You know, like the Eagles won a Super Bowl 5 years ago, I guess it was. I don't know if anybody really. They've been around. They've stuck around too. They've won another Super Bowl. The Chiefs are really good. They got Mahomes, but the Rams had it was so deep. It wasn't just Warner and Falk.
Yeah.
It was Bruce and Holt. And Oz Akeem might have been the most exciting guy with the ball.
Yeah,
and Tony Horn, they didn't have him in 2000. He got hurt. This kick returner was, when guys would return kicks for kickoffs, he was a sick weapon. I mean, it was just, and it was carefree, and teams didn't know what the fuck to do. It was unreal.
Yeah.
It was, you just didn't see anything like it. Because even when the Cowboys were great in the 90s and the 49ers were great in the 80s, there were teams that could kind of hang with them. It was usually like the Packers, Cowboys in the 90s, and the 49ers had their back and forth with the Cowboys to start the decade, and I guess the Giants at times in the 80s. But the teams in the 90s just didn't know what the fuck to do with the Rams.
Yeah.
Or the 99 season, I'm sorry, didn't know what the fuck to do with the Rams. Because they're just like, what do you pick? Okay, we're going to try to stop Bruce. Okay, well, then you got Hall, and then you got Akeem, and then you got Falk.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the guy that had the biggest touchdown catch outside of Bruce's Super Bowl winning touchdown was Ricky Prohl, who hadn't caught a touchdown all year. So
yeah.
It just speaks to the depth. I mean, it was just so, it was amazing. And they had a good defense, too. You know, it's just forgotten. So anyway, good question. That's good. Good one. A little kicker. All right, Jackson, I got to go down for lunch. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been QFTA on the Tim McKernan Show podcast.